Tape recording 500907-2. Valences and valence shifters. This lecture follows tape 500907-1. Language adjustment, given to the professional course of the Hubbard Dianetic Research Foundation, Los Angeles. It is 42 minutes long. If, in an engram, Mama says...
In other words, Mama says you're different from I am, you could never be like me, and Mama's a good cook, you'll find this person not doing well with cookery. If you wipe out all the household arts out of a woman with that engram, the wickedest and most sorrowful engram I think I ever ran into was an AA on Christmas Eve. Well, this was a fool. This person could even start to come near a Christmas tree and just go to pieces. He didn't want anything to do with Christmas or any part of Christmas. And presents, he was very peculiar about presents. Anybody would try to give him a present, he would say the social amenities of thank you very much. Oh, yes, I enjoy a great deal. And then hastily and hurriedly throw it into a trunk, get it out of sight, lock it down so that he wouldn't run into it again. And this peculiar behavior is occasioned by this very, very sad engram because it was a mutual AA and Papa was being very, very brutal. He got drunk. He decided that he didn't want any children around and so forth. He did this AA against protest and he's talking about Christmas and so on. And then he says, I've got a present for him. Needle thrust, right straight through. And I've got a present for him. I really picked that guy's life up. One breath, one praise. Mama went to the doctor shortly afterwards and got herself packed and patched up and so forth, and the baby came through normal. Now, a valence call-in. You can get a call-in on valences. It says something on the order of, why don't you be like me? Or why don't you be like your Uncle Oscar? Why don't you be like other children? Puts this guy into about 40 assorted children's valences. He's being commanded into the valence, actually, but they call him in. Be more like me, dear. So, of course, being commanded in on the other side, you're just like other children, is it? Now, I can't be myself, of course, as a bouncer out of one's own valence. So, in other words, you can work them out yourself, the series, and it'd be better if you did, figure them out. You can have valences, get call-ins and bouncers out of, and holders. You're always like your father. That is a holder in a valence. That's all. Deniers. No such person exists. I ran into this weird combination one time whereby a guy had appeared with a certain name early in the prenatal period, and Papa and Mama were arguing about this person very violently, terrific argument in progress, and she was accusing him of being unfaithful, and he was trying to throw a friend into the breach, and she said, this fellow's name, we'll just make it Bill. No such person exists as Bill. Of course, this is all forgotten. He sort of made it up. It was a favorite name of Papa's. So that when the child was born, he named the child William. Of course, this fight hadn't been much of an engram or an upset on the thing, but there was no such person as Bill. That kicked him out of his own valence all the time. Who the hell was he? The person used to sit around and say to himself, who am I? Who am I? Matter of fact, a person can always sit down and say, who am I, and repeat his name over several times and get the damnedest separation from reality he ever wants to feel. But when he's got an engram along in this line and he repeats his name several times, and that name's included in engram, he's going to re-stimulate the engram. It's liable to have a lot of other things. So the adventure of repeating one's name many, many times gives some very odd experiences. That's why girls, for instance, start using their second name instead of their first name. And I think why a lot of you want to be married. Okay. Please. These balance commands back and forth, quite important. And usually you ask the person for a valence shifter, and he will give you something like a valence shifter. You could explain to him pretty clear what a valence shifter is, and so on. Or you just recognize one as it goes by. Oh, he wanted to know what percentage a person, if you could ask the file clerk about a percentage. No, I wouldn't do that. Isn't that important? The person is either getting the somatic or he's not getting the somatic. And actually getting down in the basic part of the track, he will get into his own valence. These cases are always complicated by valence shifters. You get homosexuality is a valence shifter complication of enormous magnitude. The way we solve such a case is to find the dramatization on the part of either parent, which would, in your opinion, thoroughly shift valence, truly opposite sex. You just keep straightlining this case and working it way up in track, so you'll eventually find one of those things. And you'll get that dramatization, and it'll be a super powerful. That's what causes it. There is the exact pinpoint cause of it, right there. That's how important valence shifts are, incidentally. You'll find that most of these that are thoroughly shifted, the valence shifters sort of compound, so that you'll have 15 varieties all adding up to the same thing. There are too many vectors here pointing to the same conclusion. And a person can have valence shifters to the right and valence shifters to the left and so on all over the shop. But they're doing a bit of balance on the thing, and they just throw him into an idling valence. But you have one which concentrates 100% on you are father, you are father, you are father. And it adds up in dozens of different ways. You are a boy. I am sorry you are a girl. You are a boy. And so on. And we eventually wind up with one of these thorough shifts over into a valence. You will find out that many psychoses, transvestites, for instance, a transvestite who insists on wearing the clothes of the opposite sex, has gotten a very large valence shifter thrown into the case. And it hasn't been just repeated once. It's been repeated over and over in many forms and ways, which eventually lead them to the inevitable conclusion that the thing to do is to wear the clothes of the opposite sex. And it says wear the clothes of the opposite sex, in essence. I found one case where the husband, the one would never, on God's green earth, think of this person ever being along in that line, because he was a very strong, virile man. During coitus, he used to put on makeup and a woman's lace nightgown. And this child was a transvestite. That's of a nice division. One can get interesting answers or useful answers. And you can ask the test for all the interesting answers you want, but, there's no benefit, and you don't use them. For heaven's sakes, though, don't use the file clerk to give you opinions. He is the world's worst judge. The function of the I is the function of a judge. The function of the file clerk is the last order of court recorder.
When you ask the file clerk for an opinion, so he's going to stay for all the data files, trying to turn up all sorts of data. I'm going to try to find some record on it, which says, are you a part of the file clerk?
The file clerk
data forwarding mechanism. Data. He can select out enzymes out of the big pile of enzymes, and those that are available, he'll select out, hold up a nice script, and then go through them. He'll give you additionally yeses or noes on the content of any data which he has at that moment instantly in his possession. Instantly in his possession. He selected up the enzyme. Now you say, hold it. He said, yeah. But he's got the thing on scan right there. It's immediate. You ask him, how many earlier? Give me a number on this next question. How many earlier in the bank? And he says, three. He can count. Three. Very simple. But, he hasn't been occupying the whole thing here. This is just a little mechanism that is by which the enzymes come out of the files and so forth. And he knows how old it is on the track. He can read the track paths over here. And so on. He just gives flashes on this stuff. And you give him data. You give him words out of the instrument. You say, is the word fool in here? And he'll say, yes. So I go to the word fool. Sure, the word fool. So that's an easy job. The file clerk is right there. He's got the whole file board up in front of him. He's got the whole data. He can say this. Because he can read it from the back, because the attention units at the back have four, sonic, physio, perceptic, somatic, everything else. They've got all the data back there, and they get it back of the board before I, up in the front of the board, in the midst of all the operating impact, gets it. It's a very simple mechanism. It's very easily framed in this analogy. The attention units which are nearest to the standard bank are the least aberrated. Now, this follows, then, that they would get better information quicker than I. After a while, the whole mind can, as one of its very minute functions, give forth data like the file clerk does. A clear functions when he wants a specific piece of information almost on a flash answer basis. Because all of the attention units there can drag this material up when wanted. But that's a minor function. The file clerk is not very terribly important. He's back there, back at the data. All the data is available. All he can get his hands on, that is. Sometimes he can't get his hands on while he's in there. But these are the attention units back of the mind up against the standard bank. And therefore, they see all, they know all, and they think nothing. Now, I and the analyzer, the computing machinery, and all the other stuff which in its high order of complexity make up the analytical mind are affected by enzymes. And the file clerk can fetch up one of these engrams and set it up there. He isn't affected by this engram, but this engram, the second it's there, now throws its impact against I. I cuts down, the analyzer starts to get a little bit anathem, other things happen, but you've still got a file clerk alert and functioning back of all of this mechanism. That's the file clerk. The computing machinery isn't available to him. It's all tied up with circuits and everything else. So that's the guy, and that's all that you want. Yes, no, number, word, name, elder, bouncer, denier. He gets educated up to what words, bouncers, and deniers are. But he is the same order of being as I. It's as though a little fragment of I is clear back here in the back of the mind, left free from the aberration. Now, first, in front of the far front, are the circuits. They're the circuits up in front of the file clerk. They're on and interposed between the file clerk and I. As long as those circuits exist, file clerk answers can wander around, you can get demon answers, you can get all sorts of things on the thing. But some part of the mind will always answer any question you give it. Some part of it will get some reaction, even if the reaction is just no answer. There is no answer to this. It's right. Stop. No answer. Something from stop. There's some part of the mind responding. Now, the circuitry, portion of the mind, of course, if it is up front there and you've got demon setups in such a way, you ask for a flash and in comes the data. But what kind of data? where you want to give your fireplace, very rapid questions. Rapid, brief questions with monosyllabic answers. I am not even content if a fireplace knows whether or not a person's in his own bed, whether or not he has the power of observing this, because it requires a much broader vista of observation. The auditor, however, can tell whether or not a person's in his own bed with the greatest of ease. He just looks. He can tell whether or not he's in an engram with the greatest of ease. He tells which. He can tell whether or not he's in a grief discharge area. He eats and sighs and he checks. These are fairly uniform manifestations. That's another thing I've seen as an error, is people don't allow people enough time to move on the track. It only requires seconds. But remember, the seconds still have to intervene. Maybe it only requires 5 or 6 seconds. But 5 or 6 seconds run like this. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's quite a long time, isn't it? And it requires time to go up and down this track. If a person isn't taking time to go up and down the track, he is not moving on the track. Then a person throws his eyes open instantly. When you've just finished reducing an engram, you say, come up to present time, you go. He is still stuck at that point. So you better do something. Say, just close your eyes. Now let's go to the last phrase again. Give me yes or no. Hold it. I'm not laying down the usefulness of the fireplace here, by the way. Not in any way. That fireplace is dreadfully useful. But the way he's being used as a mechanism by some people is sort of like a kid using a watch to drive nails. In other words, in his sphere of activity, he is enormously useful. The tool is a very good tool. But just as a carpenter must understand what we do with a flame, so must you understand what to do with a fireplace and a somatic strip. These tools are precision tools. They don't vary from day to day or patient to patient. The bulk of the trouble that any class has in studying dynamics comes from their initial lack of satisfaction, according to their own eyes, with the precision character of the tools which they are using. You use these tools by rote for a short time, and you will see how confoundedly precise they are. And after you have discovered this and established it to your own complete satisfaction, then you can go over to the ocean far away, and I'm safe in saying that because you won't. Now, let me make a few delicate
I meant to say some little thing. I don't want to speak very harshly about this, but I tell you this. I want to ask you this one little question. Why the hell don't you get grief out? I watched some of the standard procedure work. Some of the standard procedure work is standard from step 4 on. That is to say, get in the basic area and give an engram. Gotta get in the basic area and give an engram. Quick. Wham, wham, run, run, for a basic area, can't get in. Don't understand why this case isn't making any progress, but we sure are running these out-of-valence engrams. We sure are having a fine time here. Yes, sir, the fellow can find phrases and repeat them for hours. That's gorgeous. Grief is a terrific suppressor. You get too much grief on a case that's ready to come off. The grief's going to come off the case, or early engrams are going to come off, one or the other. But if there's grief on the case, the early engrams aren't going to come off. So there's nothing like cutting your own throats. It's tacit consent that does it. I can tell you that right now. A fellow has a grief charge on him. He starts somebody back down the track, and he'd rather be shot than re-experience this grief. So he says, the fellow says, well, tell us if my grandmother keeps the title goes, come basic. Then a guy could run the death in his own balance. You can get the grief off. By the way, sometimes grief doesn't come off merely because the auditor doesn't get the guy into his own balance.
Do you know that you run through a gene sequence once? The ordinary course of human affairs is to have this, the pater outside himself at that moment of grief. It is a great mechanical displacer of the individual. It automatically shifts valence. The grief itself shifts valence without a command. So, we run over it once, the guy may still be out of balance. Twice, the precore may still be out of balance. Three times, he may still be out of balance. Four times, still. Five, all of a sudden, in balance and boo-hoo-hoo. There are out of balance shifters which do that, but in addition to that, there is a mechanical transplanter. You see the mechanism of balance shift exists to keep the mind, if thought, intact. So the guy just moved out. It became too much to bear. For instance, a terrific somatic all by itself can kick a person out of balance. No balance shift is ready. Terrific somatic, he maybe run the first part of the somatic, then kick, and out of valence he goes. You have to run it several times and run the other valences. Running in the other valences. Shift them, one to the other valence. Be Papa, you aren't using this mechanism enough, and boy, that's a valuable one. You're worrying too much about getting the person into his own balance before you let him talk. You let him scream as Papa, or yell as Mama, or do anything as Mama he wants to do, so forth, weep, or anything like that, weep somebody else's tears, as they do prenatally, and eventually take enough tension off the two sides of the thing until you can get him into his own balance and run it. There is a tough somatic, a tough grief charge. We're doing automatic, mechanical skid-up. Why do you think this balance exists as a mechanism? It existed first as a mechanism before language existed. You'll find dogs out of their own balance. Sure, there's many a dog in his master's balance. Look at him. The dog looks exactly like him, but let's not neglect the dog. I just want to show you, though, these mechanisms didn't suddenly get invented by the guy who invented English. They existed as maybe mechanisms of the mind. And then English, words, language, French, German, or Dutch, it didn't matter, walked in on these mechanisms and started to really fix them up. How do you avoid pain? That's the primary mission there. Let's get away from pain. Well, that's another trick, getting away from pain. And there may be, by the way, another trick that we haven't discovered yet. A person will try to get out of a painful engram regardless of what happens. That's an ordinary mechanism. He sort of bounces off the pain itself. It doesn't have to be a bouncer. Sometimes this happens. He'll bounce out of valence because of the pain. He'll do the same thing by grief. He will bounce off the grief charge all by itself. And he will skid out of valence on the grief charge all by itself. So you start running this stuff while he's out of valence, and you can run it, run it, run it, and all of a sudden he'll smack into his own valence. When you get him in his own valence, he'll have tears. Unless, of course, he's in the valence of somebody else who is crying. So you run him through that until he cries out this other person's tears, and then you still find out if he's in his own valence. You'll know that he can see himself. He's not in his own valence. This seems to me to be rather obvious. You'll find people who are standing there, and every time Mama and Baby are present, why, there he is standing in some other quarter of the room, and you say, "Where's Papa?" "I don't know." "But there's me. There's Mama. I don't know where Papa is." Plus, even Papa's balance. Now, he can get around to where he's sitting up on top of the clock, too. He's out of all valences. Praise that'll do this sort of thing. If this had been you, it would have been killed. Or you would have been killed, or something like that. You would have been killed if you were your, had been there. That boy had been you. You would have been killed, or something of the sort. Places of that character had a tendency to slide him off. This one will kill you. Boy, you should listen these days to the conversation amongst musicians. There are going to be some children of musicians who are going to be occupying sanitariums. You know how it is with me these days. Everywhere is nowhere.
You're out of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything's
true
and crazy.
Yeah?
Believe
me. It's just gruesome. That is all sorts of. Now, I just calling this to your attention on the matter of grief charge, and I hope to call to your attention this one last time.
And I don't want to be unnecessarily rude about it, but goddammit, you're outrageous. It's terribly important. Don't bypass that point of standard procedure. I just figured out the reason why the stories in the Saturday Evening Post are as bad as they are. That is to say, in popular magazines and in lesser mediums, why they're as bad as they are. This society has the phrase writing things down. And if you notice, in all the fields of the arts, they keep talking about writing things down to people's IQ. And it never seems to occur to anybody to write them up. I guess a person who has a write-it-up engram would be writing for Atlantic Monthly. A person who has a write-it-down engram.
I would dearly love to see everybody in the class clear, but if you're going to get clear, it's going to be on your own. That's, I'm afraid, the consequences of the thing. It's sort of an automatic natural selection, by the way. The number of players are going to be established by the number of people who have enough push to go on toward the target, because they're going to get about halfway between normal and clear, and they'll feel so good, they'll kind of slow down and stop. Or get latched up in a manic someplace and start to feel very wonderful now. A case is open, as far as I'm concerned, when grief discharges, the major grief discharges are off of the case, and a basic area engram has been run and reduced. A case is way open when you've got conception out of it.
Do they have to have sonic in that area?
No, but if the fellow didn't get sonic in that area, it's because he's out of wheels. Now, of course, getting a case reasonably open has nothing to do with getting him in his own valence all the way up and down the track. You can sweat over this for a long, long time. But you have getting a case open can be succinctly stated just in these phrases, that you know now the case can be run by reasonably standard auditing, nothing very brilliant. The case can go on and be run and finally wind up as a very good release and as a clear. You've established this. The person is not permanently latched up on the track. He's not lost up in some direction or another. You've established, really, this case will run nicely now with minimal trouble. That's, I call a case open anytime I can put my hands on the case and get action. That case is open, that case is running. I have seen somebody run for 150 hours out of his own valence. I've seen another guy run 480 hours out of his own valence. And he was still reducing somatics. By the way, he was getting to a point where the anaphen was so heavy on the case and so poorly shed that if he went back 24 hours, he'd get yawns on somebody saying hello. But he was eventually swapped over into his own valence and anaphen and boil off is done. The case came out all right. But a case is just open there when you're assured that this case is well to go. It takes a lot of auditing. A release is way up there in terms of time. You can count in working in Dianetics for probably many months of knocking off 6, 8, 10 hours a week of auditing. Now, the chronic somatics, somebody has tried to make the definition that a case is open when the chronic somatics are gone. That would be a very silly definition. Because all the chronic somatics are gone, you can only be sure they're gone when an erasure of the bank has taken place. Then you're sure of that. But you can be sure that if a case has out a basic area engram, that it did reduce, you got off yawns, that's very important, that case will run. Furthermore, you know this case is moving freely on the track and that a reasonable amount of sentient, rational auditing will take care of this case and keep it going. Now, there is where you know a case is definitely. There's usually an attendant resurgence on the opening of a case. These are definitions. These definitions are probably not too well understood. But if the case could be run with a standard line of auditing, no big, clever, heavy battery stuff needed on it, that case is definitely open. That case will attain a release. These things I have said pretty much before. I've said them right here. I confirm them again by saying them today.
None of this is new data I'm giving you. Well, the only thing that concerns me with the cases that are present, I want to make sure those cases are open. I'd like to see them open, so that we don't have a heavy battery stuff. I guess sometimes you get a case kind of loud stuff where people will feel that we don't have too much... the person is excited, he's worried about his case. Nobody's hit the right computation on the case. Their computations are off, and as a result, BP is shutting stuff around, he's shutting stuff around, don't like it. So they protest. Somebody may have even gotten engrams off of this person, basic area and so on, and then some new computations come up. But you can expect a cyclic, that is to say, an undulant increase in general tone. But that is an undulant increase in general tone. It is a curve which starts here, let's say, normal, here. Then you run the thing a little while, and the guy gets badly restimulated, maybe his tone will drop somewhat. This is usual, of course. It'll go along badly, down, and then up, and down, and then all of a sudden you're getting up above this level a little bit. So now we're getting up, and make some good surges, and then Bosch is here. 2 days, case stays very badly marked. Then all of a sudden, up here. And it's an undulant curve in the interest of, and it goes on up like that, but it is not a straight line. Very definitely not a straight line. The somatics kick in, somatics kick out. Sometimes somebody's working one part of the chain that knocks another one into a stimulation and so forth. It is a consistent increase. You take the overall period of week by week and measure it week by week. And you will find out that the tone of any one week is better than the tone of any past week. Now, your preacher continually discourages you about this because he says always, he's got to get that next engram, which you've already knocked out of in this new form. It's a very racehorse. He's sort of impatient now. He's got to get going. It's the new engram that's important. Sometimes you have to slow the guy down. You have to say, hey, how did you feel on August the 10th? Well, How'd that feel when? August the 10th? He's having a hard time, see, because all this data's been clipped, and August the 10th, the sorrows of August the 10th were locks on him. So you're asking him not what happened. He can tell you that period of it. But how did he feel? Which is a different thing. So you said, yes, I was depressed, and I remember beating my wife up in the morning, and then suicide in the afternoon. Treated with sinusitis and operated on appendicitis that night. Anyhow, I don't feel well these days at all. Now, we just got to get the rest of these engrams. This guy's been in fine shape for a long time. You finally break it down and says, yes, I felt horrible. No, life was not worth living. Now I feel wonderful. Now I feel fine. Are you satisfied? How about let's go after that newest AA you just found? That's the kind of stuff you get. It's very discouraging, Doctor. It's second only to the type of discouragement you get when you turned off somebody's migraine headache on straight wire or something of the sort. And then he says, I knew that promo cells were helping. I give you a word of caution. Don't hit him with a baseball bat or anything at that point. But I give you a word of warning about it. Even though the person's returned on the track, over 50% of his analytical mind is working. And it's not working out of engrams, it's working out of English. But the engrams are full of English, and he has to use English to express himself. And it is only at the time when he is returned directly to and is sitting right on an engram that he will use its phrases. Now, for heaven's sake, don't go around baiting each other with this. You know that sort of thing can set up a dwindling spiral on a guy? It can depress his morale and everything else. Because what's being postulated at him is he talks and thinks out of nothing but interest. It's not true. It's very strict to be told. The reason husband-wife teams fail is because they get into the type of argument of this sort of thing. He runs off an engram, and then she maybe is anxious to prove to him that he has dramatized it many times, and that was the source of all of that fight. One of the answers that can be given to them is look at them speculatively and wonder what manner of engramic computation they have, you see, that causes them to have to seek importance on this level. But that sounds a little bit bitter, so the best thing to do is just give them a surprised look, and say, bad dianetic mass.
There is another thing that sets in, dianetically speaking, a matter of self-determinism. When a group is operating as a group, particularly when it has been introduced to confusion, it has a tendency to act as a group rather than individuals to some degree, which is very bad. It shouldn't work this way. People ought to act as individuals. Self-determinism. This sort of trick that he mentions is being pulled by DAs, a very shabby trick. It is aimed toward cutting down first self-determinism and cut down his power as one of the most powerful mechanisms which you could possibly line up against the person in order to render him unimportant. Well, that sort of thing and that sort of atmosphere would also be conducive to this, that self-determinism would suffer, you see, to the degree of being cared for to some degree. Now, we have been engaged here in training. Most of the talk which I have heard has been, unfortunately, on the subject of treating. That is to say, I have heard many more worries about individual cases than I have heard about worrying about other people's cases. I would say it's a very bad symptom. The point being that the cases are not important enough compared to the training, to stack up and hold up training. Actually, that's true. It is also true that one can't really make a good auditor until he's gotten up to a point where he's had some tension taken off his own case. He can advance his own case far enough, he gets into pretty good shape, and his auditing curve really comes up. I have seen that. That is a fantastic thing. Auditing really comes up. When you get a good, solid release on the guy and he's going on ahead to clear and pour, that quality of the auditing starts into a stellar role compared to the rest of them. Dianetics in an organization, it is a great point that we've got what cures inefficiency. If we can only keep on employing it, we don't get so inefficient that it can't be employed. Instead of looking to anyone or anything on the subject of your own case, how about you taking an opposite viewpoint and starting to worry about other people's cases? To the point of getting in there with your two bare hands and tearing the damn case apart and resolving it. Now that would be a very sentient maneuver. Furthermore, you should make plans, particularly if you're leading this area, you should make some sort of plan or arrangement in order to increase and speed up your case. Now, how do you? It's been set up and often remarked back east that this is the optimum, but it doesn't seem to be very practical. I mean, it isn't workable. Somebody comes in from Fresno, let's say, and only one person comes in from Fresno. And we get this one person from Fresno, and the case is open all right, but this person goes back to Fresno and is now confronted with a lot of auditing which this person now looks at with horror. Isn't going to be audited. Well, it has a solution. What you do is just sit down and you just train somebody, you see. You do it well. And when you train 5, 6, 8, you let them work on the old master. And you finally get one with a really moving case down, you have to beware of this bear trap, that you'll pick a weak one who won't push. That is a danger. Pick the toughie. Don't pick up the weak one. You see how that would be? There's a lot of that. That is a little patty cake mechanism that is just beautiful, and a case will stay off these planets. I have seen a case hang fire for 8 consecutive months of being audited a minimum of 4 hours a week. Remain static. Which, when walked into by a person of comparable force to the person who's being audited, started resolving like wildfire. Now there's that danger. You want to be clear, steer wide of that one. Steer wide of past consent, and steer wide of that tendency to pick a weak auditor. That is the way, that method of having to train up somebody, that is the way that I got as far as I got. That's the way most
people initially associated with Dianetics have to do. And until such time has, there are just lots of them all over the place. They will have to go on feeding them. It's a state of existence which only a sweep of a magic wand can change, and we're working like hell with that magic wand right now, but it takes some time. So the best thing we can do is to make sure we're getting on these cases open at least. My youth, undoubtedly, elected amongst you who are good officers, who are good doctors, who aren't. It's a wonder to me that there aren't more people in this class who haven't already picked up a clientele. I've seen it happen. Sure. Would you want to see today, and would you do this, and would you do that, and so forth? But that sort of thing goes on. But the way to solve this thing is actually get going. You have the information. You may appear that your information is insufficient. What you want to do is to put it into practice. You find out it'll get facile enough, quick enough, and you address it to a few frequenters. You'll have to train up somebody. Make them read the book and so forth. That's why I'm trying to put out more training literature about these lectures and so on here are all being put together. They won't be available immediately because it takes a little while to transcribe these things and to publish them. But such things will be available. You'll be able then to throw such things as the bulletin which contains standard procedure with both people. You work them for a while, you open up their cases, they get the key limit, you supervise them for a while because you only need dealing with a very few people to be able to do it fairly rapidly. You get on your own case and you have space there. What the 10-day process is set up to do, it is designed as something which can be carried forward in a clearing center. Suppose we go to a clearing center and with auditing, consistently having a couple of auditors, both of them good auditors, being run by these two auditors, one running in morning, the other running in afternoon, something like that, go through 3 days of intensive, and then 7 days, maybe you're running. That is standard procedure. And wind up at the end of that time in a current situation. That is designed to happen at a clearing center under good auditing.
You have just heard a tape-recorded lecture given by L. Ron Hubbard, founder of Dianetics and Scientology.